here and to share a word with you about justice. We're talking about justice and justification, and justice is kind of a big word and might be could be kind of difficult to understand, a little confusing. And we're going to try and understand something about God this morning and about His justice, and see if that can give us some more of an appreciation for who God is and what He's done in our lives, and who Jesus is and what He did, and how that matters to us. And things like that. And we're going to talk about justice. We already sang some songs about justice, and we read a scripture about how God is almighty and how God loves justice. We read Psalms 99 that said God loves justice. The King loves justice. And so we're going to talk in Romans 23. That's the scripture passage, the one we just read, about how God is just and the justifier, how all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and how Christ Jesus is the propitiation through His blood. And so we're going to talk about justice. So some ideas about justice. We're talking about moving to justice. What is justice then? Thinking about the concept of justice. What is justice? Some of the images we have in our culture of justice, maybe some of you have seen it. There's an image of a lady, and she's blindfolded. Yeah? And she has a sword in one hand and a scale in the other. A scale being one of those scales where you have an arm on the scale and it pivots, and hanging from each end is like a bowl. And you put something in the bowl on each side, and it's supposed to weigh the same, and so that it balances the scale. And if whatever you put in this bowl weighs more than the scale tips to one side or the other, right? Depending on which side has more in it. And so we have a scale that is about justice. The scale is about equality. Whenever you put as much weight on one side as you have on the other, then the scale is balanced. And this lady is about, we call her Lady Justice. And the idea is that justice, she has a blindfold on, and so justice is blind. It doesn't show partiality, and it's looking for something. She's looking for the balance. She's got a balance, a scale in one hand, and she's looking for balance and equality, something to equal. They must equal, the two sides must equal. And she has a sword in one hand, and the sword would represent either reward and punishment. The sword represents punishment. So Lady Justice is blind, and she's ready to weigh what's going on. She's ready to weigh the situation in the scales, and then deal out punishment or reward accordingly. So that's one image we have in our culture about justice and what justice is. It's about proportionality. This portion must equal this portion. Yeah? And then we have equity and fairness. You know, we talk about fairness. We always talk about fairness. That's not fair. That's what we say. Come on, that's not fair. So fairness is something we think we understand about fairness. It's not fair. I didn't make that mess. Why should I have to clean it up? That's not fair, right? That doesn't weigh out. I didn't make the mess. It's not fair. It doesn't weigh out. It's not proportion that I should have to clean the mess up. So we talk about fairness and proportionality. In the Old Testament, and as we talked about, Lady Justice has to do with breaking the law in our country. We talk about breaking the law, and if you break the law, the punishment has to be equal to the offense. You know, so you can't give somebody 50 years in prison for speeding, right? We just make them pay a little bit of money. So the punishment has to equal the offense that we do, you know, and we see that in our justice system. In the Old Testament, the motto for justice in the Old Testament, the motto was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? And so the idea was that if you got in a fight with somebody, you know, say, or you came up and, or you unjustly, if you will, if you... without cause, you came up and I came up and, or you came up to me and knocked my tooth out, right? Then the law would say in the Old Testament, then we need to knock your tooth out because you weren't right in that. So if you came up and you poked me in the eye, then equality would say, to make things equal, I need to poke you in the eye. And so there was an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. Justice had to have equality in it in the Old Testament. And God is the one who gave the Israelites that law, the Old Testament law, the eye for an eye, the tooth for tooth. That was God's law to them. Justice, very important to God, very important in our culture and to who we are. Justice, very important. Justice has the idea of conforming to the truth, right? There's a truth about things. There's a truth about the offense that you've committed, or even the good thing that you have done, and you have merited reward. You have earned a payment, a reward. If I work such and such hours during the day, then by justice, for justice to be served, then you need to pay me appropriately. You know, I need to be paid and compensated appropriately and rewarded for my actions. Or, again, punished. The wages must be, the reward or punishment must be equal to my actions. And there's a truth about it, you know. So sometimes we don't conform to the truth. And I'll just throw this one out there. This is a little extra one, side note that just popped into my head. Sometimes we don't conform to the truth in our payments and rewards. For example, and I'll just give you my opinion, but I don't think just because you can take a stick and hit a little ball that you should get paid that much. That's just me. That's just me. I think that's crazy talk. I think it's totally injustice that these guys, because he can take a ball and throw it into the little hole right there, that we pay him just a ridiculous amount of money. So I don't think that's just at all. I think that's totally injustice. I mean, that's crazy talk. So there's a truth about things, about justice. There's a truth about it. And I don't think that conforms to the truth at all. I'm like, what is that? So, but let's say you can open up somebody's chest and you can fix their heart and keep them alive for another 30 years. Well, I say maybe that person probably deserves some maybe compensation and reward for that. That's pretty impressive. You know, that's life and death, and they're saving lives. I mean, there's some justice in maybe offering them a little compensation for that very impressive skill that they have. So we think about the truth. According, there's a truth behind this reward and punishment as well. And we hand out punishment and merit on the basis of on reward on the basis of this merit that we have. The Bible says that justice is very important to God, that there is the truth and there is equality and rightness and fairness in the world. That's important to God. And it says in the Old Testament, an unjust scale, like a scale that doesn't weigh properly, you know, an unjust scale is an abomination to the Lord. God hates an unjust scale. So there would be some people that might say, I will give you a dollar for every pound of whatever that you have. And they would rig their scales so that it wouldn't measure out rightly, right? So that they would get 2 pounds and only give you a dollar, but the scale says it's only 1 pound. And an unjust scale in life, when we use unjust measurements on people and an unjust scale in life, is an abomination to the Lord. Abomination means that it's something that's disgusting and grotesque and evil. And God hates that when we use unjust scales. You know, you ever heard this saying, don't judge a book by its cover? Using an unjust scale on people. When you just look at the outward appearance of someone and you judge them in accordance, just an outward appearance, not based on the truth about who they really are on the inside, you use an unjust scale. You label them, you put them in the group, and then you treat them a way that's unjust or unfairly. And God says, that's an abomination to me whenever you use unjust scales and measurements in life. So, we're going to talk a little bit about justice and God now. Let's say God, we establish a little bit of what justice is and that God loves justice. He hates unjust scales. And let me give you a statement here from the Bible. And I want you to think about this statement. And the statement is this. You ready? God is just. And to be just means that you use good scales. You use proper measurements. So God uses proper measurements. But listen to this. Listen to this. This is where it goes off. This is where it messes up. Okay? God uses proper measurements. He is just. And the one who justifies, he justifies, well, right here, because of faith in Christ, but the idea is he justifies sinners. The idea is that God justifies sinners. Okay? God justifies sinners. I got louder because of the mic, huh? Is anybody in here not a sinner? Anybody? No one? Is anybody in here a sinner? A sinner. Is anyone in here justified by God? Justified by God. A sinner that has been declared righteous. Do you hear the problem? Can you hear the problem with that? You're a sinner. And you are declared righteous. You're justified. There's a problem. That's not right. That's not using the right scales. You can't do that. Let's say, I'll give you an example. Let's say we were in a courtroom right now, and I was the judge, okay? And James was the guilty party. He's been speeding. What kind of car are you driving?
Camry.
Camry? You can speed in a Camry. So James is speeding. And he was going 70 in a 25 mile an hour school zone with little kids. So just bad. So, and we have parents of all the children, and they're saying, James needs to be punished. And I say, James is okay. That's all good. You're free, James. Would I have a job very long? Would you guys keep me as your judge if that's what I was doing? James might like me. But we would say, whoa, judge, you can't do that. You can't look at guilty people and say that they're not guilty. You can't take sinners and declare them righteous. That's not right. We would fire a judge like that. We'd say, no, he is misjudging the situation. There's no justice in him. He must go. He must go. And for God to look at sinners and to say sinners are righteous would be unjust. If that's all that happened. If that's the whole story. If that's all you knew about it. So for God to look at you and say, you are righteous in my sight, is a problem that needs to be dealt with. Okay? Is a problem that needs to be dealt with. We have guilty people in the sight of the Lord that are being declared righteous. And we have a problem. We have an unjust judge who is sinning himself. That's what a judge would do, that would look at guilty people and declare them righteous. He himself would become a sinner. He himself would be in agreement that evil was okay. That it is okay to speed in the school zone. That's what he would be. I agree. It's okay to speed in the school zone. You're free. And we would say, no. We would want, right? We wouldn't want him to go free. We wouldn't want the judge to set him free. Right? In the same way, we do not want God to set sinners free without proper payment, without justice. Okay? One of the ideas that we have is that hell is bad. Hell is a bad place to be. It's a bad scene. And we don't want people to go to hell, right? But let me tell you this. More than you don't want somebody to go to hell, you do not want a God that is unjust and does not punish sin. You do not want an unjust God in the world. And hell has to do with justice. So we need to consider some of these truths about God. What is a sinner? Let's talk a little bit about what a sinner is. It starts off in verse 23. It says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So everybody in here has committed the crime, right? We have all sped in the school zone. Every one of us. We have committed the crime. And so, therefore, the wages of sin, it says in another place, the wages, what you have earned, what you deserve from committing the crime, is death. The wages of sin is death. So you've earned the death. And let's talk about a little bit what sin is. What is sin? What does it mean to sin? And what I want you to not think about is cosmic morality. I don't want you to think about cosmic morality, where there are just a bunch of rules that we have to follow, or we're sinners. We're not talking about a bunch of rules that you have to follow. Okay? I'm trying to explain to you what sin is. Sin is falling short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible said. And I'm going to tell you, try to unpack that for you a little bit. I used to drive a Jeep nice Jeep, a Jeep Wrangler, like a man vehicle. You know what I'm saying? I was excited about my Jeep. I was fired up about a big Jeep. I was like, yeah, my man ride. And then I had to get rid of the Jeep. And when, you know, Hurricane Katrina came through, right? And we lost one of our vehicles in Hurricane Katrina. And when we evacuated, I had this group of people in North Carolina, and they gave me an old blue and gray Ford Aerostar minivan. All right? And my whole manhood thing just dropped like a rock. You know, it's just dumb. I was driving a minivan, dude. All of a sudden, I mean, I was a young, strong buck driving a minivan, you know, a grocery getter, a soccer mom's ride. And it was embarrassing. I was embarrassed, you know. And it was an old minivan at that. It ran great, and it was a true blessing. But I'm just telling the story for a second. So I'm driving this minivan, you know, and I pull up to these guys driving these cool rides, and I'm just hiding. So, what's that? Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. So I'm driving this minivan. All right. Now, this minivan, if someone would have walked up to that minivan and scratched it, run their key down the side, remember that? How this drag? Or run their key down the side of my minivan, I would have looked out and said, no big deal. I don't care. This thing is a minivan, dude. You can do whatever you want to it. Okay? But go back to the Jeep days. I'm driving my Jeep, my man Jeep. And I'm driving my man Jeep, and it's shiny. I keep it shiny. I've never washed that minivan one time. But I got my man Jeep, and I keep it pristine, sparkling. You know what I mean? I'm wiping it down with a diaper and stuff. You know, man Jeep, beautiful. And so I'm driving. Let somebody breathe on my man Jeep wrong, and I would lose it. I get outraged. I get upset because it's because of the value of the thing. Now that's silly because the Jeep. Jeep's not really that valuable anyway. But when we look at that, you know, let's say we were watching a movie and they took this really fine sports car for you guys. You ever watch a movie and they take a really fine sports car and they wreck it into something and it hurts? And you go, oh, I can't believe they totaled that sweet ride. But if they were driving like this junker gremlin and they ran it into the wall, you wouldn't think twice about that. Big deal. That car needed to die. Right? Right? And it has nothing to do with It has to do with the value of the thing that's being offended. You see? You see what I'm saying? Like if we were to go over, it's the difference between going over to a dumpster and spray painting graffiti on the side of a dumpster and then going up to the White House and spraying graffiti on the White House. Okay? You can see the difference. You can feel the difference in that, right? One of them is considerably more wrong. Yeah? And you're going to do jail time for the White House. If you spray paint the White House, the crime is great because of the value of the thing being offended. Okay? You fall short of the glory of the White House when you spray paint it. You see? You see what I'm saying? The White House is special. It's unique. There's no other place in the world. You know? Or you go up to a statue, it's a 2,000 years old, you know, that somebody built a long time ago, and it's priceless. You ever heard that? That it's priceless? That you can't even put a price on it. And you go up to it, and you set your drink on it. Your can of Coke. And they would say, somebody would be offended. They would say, that is not just. That is not appropriate. The way that you are treating that very valuable thing. You see? That's what sin is. That's sin. It is to take something holy and unique and precious and valuable and special and treat it as common. Treat it as if it were common. Like it's not important. You take something beautiful and treat it like it's ugly and for no good use. That's what it means to sin against God and to fall short of the glory of God. God is beautiful. God is special. God is precious and unique and holy. And there's only one like Him. And to take God and your relationship with Him and treat Him as something common, to treat Him as something that you just cast to the side or you don't really pay a lot of attention to or you don't thank, you just treat Him as something common, that is sin. That is what sin is. And it is injustice to take something precious and special and treat it as something common. So that's what it means to fall short of the glory of God, is to take this glorious God and to treat Him like He's just common, everyday, average stuff. So that's what we do in our life. That's what we did. That's what we do. That's what we do a lot. Yeah? That's what we do a lot. We take this beautiful God and we treat Him as common. And we're sinners. And it would not be right for you and I to look and watch somebody take something special and treat it as common and say that's okay. To take children and put their lives in danger by speeding in school zones, it's not okay. Not because it's a rule, but because children's lives are precious. And you can't speed through the school zone and treat them as if they're not precious. They're precious children. And you need to act like it. You see, that's what we do. That's what we do in society. That's what we do a lot. This building is special. You need to treat it with respect. That's what we do. That's why adults always tell you stuff like that, right? You need to act right in this place. Because it's a special place. You can't treat it as common. And that's the kind of thing we talk about. That's how we talk. And we need to act right. And it's unjust to treat God as common. So, then God, we have a God that looks at people that have treated something precious and special and taken it and treated it as something common. And He looks at them and He says, they are righteous in My sight. Now another judge, if any judge did that, or anybody else did that, we would say, that person is unjust and unrighteous for doing that. He's not right. He can't do that. You can't act that way. And you can't say it's okay. It's not right. So we have a God at this point, when you got sinners treating God as common, and God saying that they're justified and righteous, you got a problem. We got a problem in the world. We got a big problem. So what are we going to do? How are we going to solve this problem? We got a God who wants to justify. We got a great judge. God's a judge. We got a great judge who sits on a throne and justifies criminals. Problem. There's a problem in the world. So how are we going to solve this problem? The only way to pay the debt is through equality. The only way to pay the debt is through equality. If someone commits a crime and they murder, how long should they stay in prison? 2 days? 3 days? You've just ended someone else's life. How long should you go to prison for? For the rest of your life. Yeah? Equality. You've ruined someone else's chance of existence. You need to have your chance of existence ruined as well. Equality. Eye for an eye. That's what that means. Eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. So, what we have done, here's the problem, here's the great problem. I'm talking about the biggest problem we got. Is that we took something, and you hear, now listen to what we said a minute ago. We said if you spray paint a dumpster, somebody, a policeman catches you spray painting a dumpster, you might get in a little trouble, right? Maybe they make you repaint the dumpster for community service. It's not so bad. You sneak onto the White House lawn and spray paint the White House, you're going to jail for a long time. For a long time. Because the jail time needs to be proportionate to the crime. And the crime is proportionate to the thing offended. It's about the thing offended. You see it? The value of the thing offended. You see it? The value of the thing. If you're in court and you trash somebody's junker car that's only worth $1,000, and you go to court and they're going to sue you, they're not going to make you pay $1 million. They're going to make you pay the worth of the car. But if you trash somebody's car that is a $70,000 car and you trashed it, they're going to make you pay a lot more. Because of the value of the thing that you have offended. Now here's the biggest, here's a huge problem. I'm throwing out problems somewhere. Here's another problem. God, what's the value of God? He's priceless. He's priceless. There is no... That means He is of infinite worth. Infinite worth. It goes on and on. A car has a limited value, and you could pay for it. But a God that is offended, you can't pay that. You can't pay that back. There's no amount of money. There's no amount of community service. There's no amount of work you could do. You can't pay that back. There's no way. You don't have the means. You want to know why you don't have the means? Because you are what's called finite. You are finite in every way. God is infinite in every way. Infinite means that the number keeps going on and on and on, and it never has an end. It never ends. The value. Just start ringing it up. When you start trying to put the value on God, it's priceless. Just start ringing it up. Because it never ends. The value never ends. And you are finite. And everything that you do is finite. It's finite. So, how long would it take a finite person to pay something infinite? How long would that take? What's that?
Forever.
Forever. For a finite thing to pay an infinite debt, it must pay forever. Have you ever wondered why hell is forever? That sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? You're like, man, that's a long time. Forever is a long time. Why does it have to be forever? Because the value of God is infinite. He has no value on Him. And a finite creature can never pay the price of the offense. He has to pay forever and ever. A finite creature has to pay forever. You have to do community service for eternity. It's much worse than that. That's why hell's so long. That's why hell is just. Because we start thinking about maybe people, we take our focus on the value of God, and we start thinking about people, and we think, does it have to be forever? And that seems like kind of unjust. Like the punishment doesn't fit the crime. But hell is justice. Hell is justice. So, we're in big trouble. Still big trouble, right? Still got a big problem. Still got a big problem. We got an infinite God of infinite priceless worth, and we got a bunch of finite sinners that have offended this infinite worth, this infinite thing, this infinite being. We've offended Him, and we've marred Him, we've spray-painted Him, and we've treated Him as something common. And now, we got a whole bunch of criminals that have to pay forever. They got to pay forever. Oh boy. Oh boy, we got a big problem. Or something else. If you had an infinite debt that you had to pay, what could pay that debt? What's the only thing that could pay an infinite debt? It would have to be infinite as well. You have an infinite debt and you need to give something in payment, then the thing that is given in payment must be of infinite worth to pay. You see what I'm saying? You owe me infinitely. You owe me forever. And either you, finite, have to pay forever, or I need something that is priceless to pay. I need a priceless thing to pay this debt for you. Or you have to pay forever. Which one? What is it going to be? So, God is in this situation where something infinite has to, and you can't produce it. Right? I can't produce that infinite thing to pay. You can't either. So where's it going to come from? Where is this priceless thing going to come from that's going to pay your debt, your infinite debt, so that you don't have to spend eternity in hell paying for your crime? Where is this thing going to come from? Where is justice going to come from? Because we have a problem. We have a big justice problem here. We got a God who wants to justify criminals. So we need justice. Where does our justice come from? It comes from the infinite worth of the person of Christ Jesus. He is infinite in worth. He is very God of very God. He is the Logos, the Word of God made flesh to dwell among us, to live a perfect, righteous life, to be Himself of infinite worth and value, and to pay your debt. To pay your debt. Your infinite debt. And that's what Jesus is. So that God can, now God is able to look at criminals because of Jesus and His death. He paid. You hear that? The payment. He paid. He stepped up and paid for you. Paid for you. Paid for me. He was the only one that could do it. In Revelation 5, it says this. Listen to this about Jesus. This is about Jesus in Revelation. He says, I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, I saw a scroll. And written within it, and on the back, sealed with seven seals, there was a scroll. I saw a strong angel, and this angel was saying with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break the seal? And no one in heaven and on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look inside of it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll. And then one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he has conquered. He has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And then there they were, gathered around the throne before Jesus, saying, worthy are you to open the scroll. Worthy are you who was slain, and by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation to purchase men. And you have made them a kingdom and a priest to our God, and they shall reign on earth. Worthy is the Lamb. And the elders fell down and they worshipped him. No one was found worthy. And Jesus, the Lion of Judah, was worthy to pay the price, to die on the cross. His blood covers us. His blood covers our sin. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. He is the just and the justifier. So that now everything has changed. Let me tell you how much Jesus is worth. Everything has changed. When before you were a criminal in big trouble before a righteous and holy God and something so worth. Now you are justified. You are righteous, declared righteous because of the blood of Jesus. Everything has changed. Listen to this. Before, and this, here's where the rubber meets the road. Before, when it would not have been right for God to forgive you of your sin, listen to this. Listen how much it's changed. Now, it wouldn't be right for God not to forgive you of your sin. God would be unjust if He did not forgive you when you confessed your sins. He wouldn't be right. You know why? Because Jesus died for your sins. And if He didn't honor the blood of Jesus, then He would be treating something so precious as the blood of the righteous Lamb as common. God won't do that. God won't look at the blood of Jesus and treat it as something common. You know, in John it says, if 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just. He's right to forgive you of your sins. He's just to forgive you. It would be unjust if He did not forgive you. Unjust to who? To you? No. It would be unjust to Jesus and what Jesus did. God cannot look at the cross. He cannot look at His Son. He cannot look at the blood of the Lamb and treat it as something common. He cannot look at Jesus and not forgive you. Jesus died for your sins. It wouldn't be right for God not to love you. For God to not love you, for God not to forgive you when you confess, would be unjust and unrighteous. God would be a sinner. He'd be treating you as something precious and priceless, as something common. So sometimes we feel like we come in the midst of God and we feel like, I can't pray right now, you know, because of basically how I acted last night. Yeah. Or what I did earlier. And sometimes we just don't feel like we can pray to God because we don't feel like it's right. Because you feel like you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I can't speak to this holy God. But we don't come to God based on our merit. We don't come to God based on what we've earned or what we deserve. We've come to God based on the blood of Jesus. Our basis to sit before a holy God is the blood of Jesus, Jesus Christ. And that's why we're so excited about Jesus. Because He paid. And now we come to God and we say, God, on the basis of Jesus Christ, please forgive me of my sin. That's what we say. We say, because of what Jesus did on the cross, remember God. Remember Jesus. You ever put God in remembrance of His covenant, of His promises? Remember Jesus, God? Remember? Remember how worthwhile Jesus is? Remember what he did? And how he lived and how he died on the cross? Remember how his blood poured out on the ground? Do you remember God? You remember, and God remembers. God knows Jesus. He knows. And because of the blood of Jesus, you are righteous. You are declared righteous before God, and it's right. It's right for God to do that. It's right for God to bring you into heaven for eternity and to not make you pay in hell forever. You don't have to pay. You don't have to pay because Jesus paid it all. You don't have to pay. You don't have to pay in this life. You don't have to pay in the life to come. Jesus paid it all. Let's pray, and as the guys come up to lead a time of response, we'll close out as James comes up. Father Jesus, thank you so much for being righteous and being right and living a right life. I thank you, God, for your justice. We thank you for your justice, God. We want you to be just. We don't want people to go to hell. We confess that. And we want to go out. We want to confess and tell everyone in the world about Jesus. We don't want people to go to hell, Father, but we do want you to be just. And we do want you to punish sin appropriately. And we thank you that you took our sin and you punished it on the cross. We thank you, Jesus, for willingly submitting yourself to God on our behalf and paying for our sins. We thank you for being worthy. You are so worthy. You are worthy, Jesus. Thank you for paying for our sins. Father, I ask that you would remember Jesus, remember his blood, and that you would look on us, everyone in this room, with mercy and grace and favor, and that in the name of Jesus, you would shine out in their heart the light of the knowledge of who you are and your worth and your value, and that you would lead us to repentance in this place. God, if there's someone in here that's never spoken to you, never confessed their sins, and doesn't have a relationship with you, you would call them out today. Call them out and tell them to come to you for justification. And we pray to you, Father, and thank you so much, Jesus. And we pray to you, God, in the name of Jesus, the name that we rely on. We say yes to you, Father. Amen. Amen. Amen.